in Chicago on a Thursday afternoon. Futures finished the day mostly lower. A nearby contract for the soft red winter wheat at $1.72.5 on a close today, down 11.5 cents. In the December, July futures at $8.68 were up a half cent. The hard red in Kansas City 9 cents higher at $9.02.25. From the corn pit back in Chicago, 13.25 lower on its close, $7.41.25. The March at $7.43.5, a closing price down 12.5. And at the end of the day, $7.40 was one of the last trades in the May contract, down 11.25. July at $7.34, down 10.75. And September corn at $6.59, 9 cents lower. December contract of next year down 4 cents at $6.35.5. Since November beans, again, these are closes and not settlements, so they're likely yet to change. $15.62.5, 8 lower. January on the close at $15.64.5, down 7.75. In the March, $15.34.5, down 2.5 cents. May soybeans, $14.85, up 2. July, $14.63.25, unchanged. And November beans at $13.35.5. A penny and a half higher, that, of course, for the 2013 contract, bean meal at $4.81, down 90 cents, and bean oil at $51.42, down 42 cents. Live cattle futures at December, $125.65, $1.42.5 lower. November feeders at $146.05, down $1.12.5 on the afternoon. And the February lean hogs today at $84.27.5, or 40 cents lower. Nearby December there, down 12.5 at $78.12.5. Well, on the phone line this afternoon to take a look at the agricultural futures markets from CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana, is Dan Zwicker. Thanks so much, Dan, for taking the time.
You're welcome, Todd.
It's been a busy couple of weeks. Why don't you go back over the charts for me and tell me how things have or have not changed over the last two-week period?
Well, we'll start off here with the chart that probably has the most promise, at least in the short term anyway, is November soybeans. November soybeans have had a pretty good success here of kind of pulling out of their mid-October low. We were able to penetrate a previous reaction high point that we had prior to that low of 1574. And we've kind of cleared this 23-24% retracement level of the fall decline. So that kind of is solidifying that the bean market now is maybe some kind of harvest recovery rally is underway. Now, probably the target that most technicians will be looking at is a move up into the $16 area, and then we'll kind of see what happens at that point. But beans have had strong demand underneath them. We had another good export sales weekly sales number today. It was probably a little lower than maybe what the trade was looking at, but it came in at 19 million. And there's all kinds of talk that China was buying some more beans this week. So I think we're going to see, you know, this here is pretty much of a demand-driven market at this point until South America can get some inventory into the world channels, and that's not going to be until you get into early spring. So soybeans do look like they're have a decent shot that we've got a harvest low behind us, and now we're trying to do some recovery. Now, the problem is how bullish do you want to be if everything starts going well in South America? Then this low here, down here, this 1485 area is not going to hold longer term on a lead futures chart. So one has to, you know, be a little worried about being too bullish. But at least for right now, there's room for some pretty good recovery.
And in the corn?
Corn hasn't really done much, you know, since the September stocks report that shot it up the limit on the 28th. We closed that day, I think, at 756. We had a range of 705 to 756. And for the most part, corn has kind of been trading 750, give or take, 18 cents or 20 cents. So we've kind of been in a 7.30 to 7.75 or 7.80 type range, and I basically I think we continue in that range. The thing that's corn, that's got corn probably under pressure the most here today, is exports have just been lousy, you know, anywhere from 3 to 5 million bushels a week, and you can't get the market excited when you're only selling 5 million bushels of corn a week in the export market. The ethanol grind is coming in a little lighter than what's needed to meet USDA's projection of 4.5 billion bushels. So when that's what's probably got into the market here today. It's just realization that the corn market is doing some rationing. Now, many of the trades still feel that there's a bigger job ahead of us, but we're really not going to get any good numbers to know how big a job we have ahead of us in rationing supply until we get past the January final, and that'll give us the December 1st stocks number. That'll give us the disappearance or the usage during the first quarter, and then that'll give us a little better idea of how much rationing, if we need to do any rationing in corn at that point in time.
Can you talk about some of the patterns that are there, maybe in the continuous corn chart? I would gather as I look at it that maybe there's a flag pattern that's available. You tell me what's there and what you think of it.
Well, over the, you know, basically since we pulled out of our 704 low and then we had a low there about 732, one was able to kind of draw a little trend line. And we've clearly broken underneath that today with today's decline. Now, it may end up being a bear trap. Who knows if we would snap back. But we're on the right down against the 100-day moving average on the lead futures chart. You could probably draw a line along the top and probably say that there's some kind of pennant formation there.
Mm-hmm.
And at the moment, we're breaking out of that pennant formation to the downside. It's basically the way I would interpret it at this point.
Does that give you any indication over a longer run of what might happen to the marketplace and or when the timing could come?
Well, I think for the most part, you still kind of got to view the market as sideways. I mean, we've had these little small patterns in it, but it's still, I think, a 750 market, probably give or take 20 cents at this point.
And then bring up the wheat charts for me, because that one I find of interest, I suppose, on the continuation chart, because we have that the high back in, what, 2008, which was really high in the wheat chart. And then so we've got this top up here around 950 or so, which I would think would be really difficult for wheat to penetrate. What does that tell you about the rest of the commodity markets when you give wheat, if you do, any real weight in the marketplace as a leader?
Well, wheat is a food grain, and it is a worldwide food grain. And if you get into supply shortages of wheat, wheat will pull out in front and lead and be kind of the leader of the pack. For the most part, going back in history, you know, soybeans either led, which is oilseed protein driven, or wheat led. Corn was more of a follower because it was a feed grain.
Mm-hmm.
But now, since it's as much of a, it's probably more of an energy grain than a feed grain at this point. So corn kind of gets the dynamics of the market has somewhat changed over the years since it is an energy grain. But the wheat chart probably has a very bullish picture to it when you look at it on a weekly basis. You could, especially on the lead futures, it does show that you've got a triangle formation forming, As a rule, they break out to the way they came into it. And if that wheat market does break out to the upside, then, you know, we're talking about double-digit wheat prices fairly quickly. And I think, you know, that is probably the most dynamic market there at some point in time, because when you look around the world, we do have problems in wheat production. We've had a lot of weather adversities. The Ukraine is going to basically stop exporting wheat by mid-November. So we are getting some supply tightness around the world, and that could be real potentially bullish longer term. And if that would happen, that would probably pull everything with it.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us.
Very well.
That is Dan Zwicker. He's with CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report.